Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about human resources. First of all, thanks to my friends over at Partners Over People Clues. Appreciate the support of the show. And William, I want to throw a congratulations out to you. You wrote an unpublished piece of information, an article, let's call it an article, that is probably one of the most compelling works that in our friendship over the past years that I've ever seen. It made me think about a lot of things. So I just wanted to say congratulations.
Appreciate that.
So hopefully it hits the public airways at some point, because I will enjoy that even more. So other than that, how you doing? How you living today?
I'm living extremely well. Got up really early and I've been very productive today. So today is a great day, an absolutely great day, because I'm just killing stuff on the to-do list. Feel really good about that.
Love it. Well, you know, the only thing that will make that day even better is hearing from our guest. So let's get on it. Welcome, Peter Lane, to Drive Through HR.
Well, thank you, folks. Appreciate being asked to be here.
Well, let's jump into it. If you would introduce yourself, and then we'll kind of jump in your world and see what's keeping you up at night.
Okay, well, as you can probably guess, I'm not from around here. I'm actually currently living in Michigan. I came over a few years ago to marry my American bride. Before that, as you can imagine, I come from the UK, from Scotland, did my degrees there, and fell into manufacturing, which I think for me was a huge plus. I had a great mentor, and I think when you hear some of the things I'm going to be saying, I hope that they're not too controversial, but I think as Susan Nam once said to me, I was edgy sophistication. So I have some thoughts about the passionate world of human resources. So I'm hoping that we can talk about those things.
Awesome. Well, Peter, we've obviously followed your blog forever and followed you on Twitter forever. Take us into your world, man. What's keeping you up at night, or what's top of mind for you these days?
I think the thing that still impassions me is that I see many of my peers, and some that I absolutely believe know much more about the profession than I do. I see myself as a humble business practitioner, perhaps brought that way because of my working class background, working in manufacturing, and once told a long time ago, Peter, tell me what you can do, not what you cannot do. And business is simple. You have to make money, and you have to make more money than you spend. And, you know, having put that into my brain so many years ago, I somehow feel that along the way, my human resource counterparts simply don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Get it is, it's tough for me because it's subjective, and it's a word that's layered with, I don't know. It can be used as a tool of good or a tool of evil, if you will. And I know that you don't mean it in that way, but let's focus on if you're in HR and you've been there for 20 years, you've been doing a great job, but let's say you're right. Maybe they got to a point where they don't understand the business. How do they get that? Like at this point, you know, we're not talking about the folks that are coming right out of college, because I think they'll have a different path. But the folks that have been doing it for a while, Peter, how do we get them to then learn the business, care enough, learn the business, et cetera?
I think it's a great point, and I think you're right. I put out there a bland, broad statement. I think the thing for me is that it's like you or I teaching an airline pilot how to be a pilot for a 747, and yet we've never, ever piloted an airplane. So to me, it seems that you have to absolutely, essentially, understand the business. Now, for me, understanding the business is I had the great privilege of being told very early on that there was no way that as a human resource professional that I was ever going to tell any of the manufacturing team anything about human resources because I didn't understand their business world. And so for me, I think human resources have to get into the role, do the job of the manager, get out of HR, run a department with return on investment, with profit, with capital, and run it in the sense that those employees are their employees, and it's those employees' livelihoods that that rely on the HR manager who's just changed the role. I think understanding business means you have to actually have done it. And I think that, you know, consulting about human resources to managers, you know, to CEOs, is just not going to work in many cases. You have to understand what keeps them at night. So what keeps me up at night is what I find out, what keeps a business owner, an entrepreneur, so it's their world, it's their head I get into. And human resources need to do that.
Are you a fan of analytics or not?
I believe that, and yes, I am. I think the easy answer to that is if you cannot measure it, you cannot manage it. Now, I was recently out in New York and in a small company, and I had to help them redesign themselves, rebrand themselves, go to the banks and get new lines of credit. When I first got there, people said, well, why are you so engaged in being involved with finance? And I said to them, you know, it's because I understand finance that I save people's jobs. I mean, I think that clarity to some of those folks had never heard before. Because when I went in and asked, as we normally do, it's like a Jeopardy question. What does HR do? You'll get 150 different answers. I have one answer. It makes money for the business. And that means that you can employ people. So I think those are the kind of things that are inbred in me. And if you can't add value and if you can't ask yourself the question, what does success look like? And absolutely hit it on the head, out of the park, if you like you get baseball guys, then I don't know how you define success. And I don't know how you, as an HR professional or as any manager, this goes for anybody. I think you have to understand what it is that you're doing and how and are you achieving that. So metrics to me is absolutely fundamental.
If you could analyze one thing, if you could only have one metric, an HR metric, and you could only look at one thing, not five, not 10,000, one thing, what would be the one thing that you would look at as an HR metric and why?
Well, that's a great question. I think how many leaders did you create in the organization? Because leadership is talked about all over the place. I have a very simple view about what leadership's about. But I think as an organization, how many people have you left behind that can grow and develop the organization?
Nice.
I think that's what I would do. If I don't do anything else, I've done very little that is longer term than sustaining a business by speaking to people and creating that environment for them to become leaders. So I think that would be my top answer.
Good. So you've obviously done business, HR business in Europe and the United States. We'd be fools not to ask you about what's that like, first of all? What is global HR like? You know, duh. And then the other is what's the differences, the real differences that you see, the practical differences between, you know, doing the job of an HRD in Europe and, a CHRO position here in the States?
Well, I think I would start with there is much by way of commonality. I think if you look at the Chartered Institute of Personal Development, which is the SHRM equivalent. I think the leaders there, as the leaders here, would have a strategic conversation. They would want human resource people to have that strategic conversation. I think what tends to happen, and when I first came over to the USA, I think the thing that hit me straight in the eye, and I came over here to do a presentation because we were building, and I was part of an internal team of building a £50 million, so I'll maybe say $100 million brand new manufacturing operation. So I came over here, and I was explaining to the American counterparts here, my colleagues over here in human resources, that my role is to build, develop, make profit. Because doing that, everything else falls in place. So if you have, there is a cost of employment. So I think, to me, the biggest contrast was I was aligned to a COO. Hey, you're like a chief operating officer. You're talking about all of this stuff. And what hit me straight in the eyes here, and it still hits me straight in the eyes, is it was about employee benefits over here. And people were telling me, we get people here in our organization because we have great benefits. And I said, why do you put that in the way of getting great people who want to come here because they will create value for themselves in the business? And it was like having an alien conversation. Over here, Peter, benefits is really key. People go to organizations for benefits. And I think that was one of the greatest disappointments. I think over here, for example, why do we get stuck with things like I'm exempt and non-exempt? I developed a world-class operation in the UK 10 years ago, and it was single status. Went from 7 unions down to 1. Why do we talk about people being the same, yet we continue to treat them differently? If we treat people differently by paying some hourly, by some salaried, it's crazy. It's not the way that you would run a business if you were starting afresh and had none of these legal issues to deal with. So I think the operational aspects were clearly different, and I was aligned very much as an operational chief operating officer, to give you that as an example, as opposed to human resources, which was about benefits. And that just continued to strike me. And we can talk about healthcare reform. I call it human care reform, because, again, I don't understand why we have so many issues with it.
Nice. Well, let's definitely do that. Before we move on, I want to ask you about technology, HR technology, recruitment technology. Do we put too much emphasis on technology here in the States, or do you looking at your experience in Europe, what's how do we value HR tech, either similarly or dissimilarly?
I think it's pretty much the same. There are the same human resource platforms. I think the question that I always ask is, it's like being in a hospital, what's electronic medical records for? Does it help the patient? Is it for the physician? So I think my view always is, does it create a better pipeline for resourcing? To me, it seems that what we continue to want to do with recruitment platforms, for example, is we want to get away with the high touch. We want to put everything into a computer, make it as simple and easy, and automate everything. And somehow in the way, what I'm thinking is before you get into human resource systems, let's identify what it is that the business really needs from its people resources. Then figure out whether some things are better to be put in an electronic form or not. I think there are many things that you can do better, but I think many organizations look at the sexiness of a human resource platform as opposed to, does it really add value? Did it decrease the time to hire? Did it improve the people that came to the organization? Those are the questions I would ask. Again, very operational.
Nice. Let me ask you about, because we started off talking about analytics and the business, and obviously an extremely popular phrase right now in HR is big data. And I want to get your take on, A, just conceptually what you like, love, hate about, you know, big data, and do you believe we should own and master the subject area of HR-related big data?
When you say big data, help me a little bit to define that.
Well, it's looking at it's looking for the hidden connections. So big data would assume at this point that not everything is connected, but if we connected it, we would see trends, we'd see hidden connections and things that we just could never see before. So big data is code for having a deeper set of analytics into the organization.
Thank you for that. One of the competencies that I believe a leader has, and I'm answering your question this way too, is anticipation. There is very little by way of real business, intellectual, whatever you want to call it. When I talk to folks, my question is what is it that we can anticipate by the trends that we have, by the information that we have, and therefore anticipate and predict? So my view is that when we're looking at anything that's running a business, I mean, let's take a business cycle. One of my claims to fame, people tell me here locally, is I was the chief human resource officer at a hospital, part of 48 hospitals. During the worst time, 2002 and 2009, I went through the anticipation, the data, if you like, of what did healthcare reform, what was the USA going through? Now, I'm not a brilliant scientist, but I can anticipate, as many in this that are listening to this today, that we have employment cycles, we have business cycles. And if we don't anticipate those cycles, we are going to be lesser for it. What did I achieve? People say, well, what's one of my more latest achievements in the USA? I can say within to the 7 years I was at the hospital, and it was the only hospital in the USA out of 48 within the system that never laid anybody off. I refused to lay people off because I said there is internal data. There is how we resource. There is how we recruit. There is how we hire. There is how we generate our income from our patients. And so I think the ability to connect information and going seeking and understanding that and doing something about it, man, in the worst 7 years before, you know, what we now have, not a single layoff, the highest engaged workforce in the whole of the system, the lowest cost in the system, and the first time in 35 years, despite huge abilities for people to dissuade me from my strategy, we paid bonuses. So I think understanding data, but really understanding it, and then interpreting it, and anticipating, I think goes a long way towards what human resource people can do. I think that's one of the gifts we can have, because we see we are involved with so many functions of an organization. So anticipate, understand, interpret, go and talk to other people, because we don't have it all in our own bailiwick. So I agree. So to me, data is fundamental in saving jobs and saving people. And, you know, to me, if people say to me, wow, could you ever replicate that? I said, I don't know. I think, isn't that our jobs? Isn't one of human resources' jobs is to build and develop? I don't think we are going to be pleased if we're having to be involved with layoffs and stuff like that. So I think the short answer is absolutely need to understand the figures, the metrics, anticipate, and interpret.
Well, I'm going to do, this is Brian, everybody. I'm going to do a quick reset, Brian, William, and Nisha on with Peter Lane. I'm going to change it up a little bit on you here. So when you hear, the word brand as a practitioner and being in the space, What's the first thing that comes to mind when people start talking about the word brand?
What the organization stands for. I mean, if it's for me, it's a service. I mean, a brand obviously can be a product line. I think to me, it's about what does that organization represent? And to me, it's about the culture.
Nice.
It's what it's known for. But, you know, you could be Nike. I mean, you could be anybody. And that actually gets me onto an interesting conversation. I believe that one of the fundamental parts of being in human resources, you have the ability that is mostly not taken. So here we have opportunities that are rarely taken. So perception defines who we are. So we have conversations about, you know, we're still not at the business table. We still are not here or there. So there's a lot of whining going on. But here's the thing. I think the ability to understand what the organization, and an organization is global now. You asked me a question. How many HR professionals who are in conglomerates who have outsourced actually ever see the outsourced workforce? To me, they're the hidden workforce. They're the forgotten workforce. Yet that workforce that happens to be outsourced because that was a great business decision can kick you in the pants very easily, as we've seen with some, you know, big stories with some of the big corporations here in the USA and in the UK. So to me, the brand is not just about the people that you employ. It's the people that you don't employ. It's those outsourced employees. So I think, to me, I think it's a matter of defining the scope of that brand and being consistent.
You know, as a follow-up question from Animal on Twitter, I think it's a fantastic one. How do you think that extends to the employment brand? Like what we put out there externally, you know, outside the four walls. You're talking about going deeper into the value chain, into the folks that are doing the outsource relationship. But let's flip that to the external audience. How does that extend for you into the employment brand?
I think, to me, what do you stand for? Is it a consistency? Is it, if you're in the USA, you're going to be treated better than, let's say, the UK. I think that you have to stand up for some sensible situation. I mean, there is clearly a business imperative why we send stuff overseas. But I think please don't have a conversation about we are an engaged in, you know, organization, we're going to put it onto our profit and loss, our balance sheet, we're going to put it onto the shareholders, when frankly you don't mean it. So to me, you have to have a stake in the ground that says, this is who we are, and who we are defines us worldwide, if we're a worldwide operation. Let's not take advantage of the poor economic countries. Let's develop situations for them that's better than what they have. I'm not saying that everybody has to be treated the same, but I think everybody has to be treated with respect and courtesy, and that can be done with some forethought and some development. And so to me, I think you do have to have a worldwide brand that's consistent if you're going to be working globally. Otherwise, who are you? Somebody that takes advantage of lower cost countries.
Nice. Before the break, you were talking about predictive, and I want to get back to that in terms of leadership, because I like probably like yourself, I view it as the 80-20 rule, that most of what we're doing right now in HR is reactive, you know, and it's maybe at 80% of what we do is reacting to whatever's going on in the organization. Maybe 20% of that is proactive, and it really needs to be flipped, to where we are doing 80% of the work is proactive and 20% is reactive. And again, those are rough numbers. But I want to ask you the question about how do you teach people to be predictive or proactive?
Well, you know, it seems to be that when we were young, when we were little, we asked all those questions. And somehow the adults in our lives started to say, will you stop asking me the question why? I think you have to have the word courage. To me, I think you have to, and that's another leadership thing for me, is you have to have character and courage. You have to take yourself out of a conversation and say, why is it that we would expect that to happen? One of the first things I asked when I was at the hospital, and silly me, I said, how does a hospital get business? And of course, people laughed at me. Well, that's a kind of silly question, Peter. I said, I'm serious. How does a hospital get business? And they said, well, why are you asking? Because I'm curious as to what I, as a human resource professional in this leadership team, have to do to actually increase the number of patients. Because I guess the number of patients means more business, means more employment, means, you know, and so on it goes. So I think, and of course, I found the answer. And it wasn't that silly a question. It was just that I had never been asked, you know, I'd never been asked in that situation, and it's the likelihood to recommend. So I think you teach people by saying never, there is, I mean, it's an old saying, isn't it? There is never a silly question, but have the courage to ask it when you really think that it's going to make me look silly. One of the things I believe is don't have that ego that says, I'm not going to ask this question. So I think teach yourself the humility to say, I don't know, and I'm going to find out. But always have the question of curiosity in your mind. Curiosity is something that is often diminished, or it's not, you know, in conversations or in big meetings. You know how it goes. So I think be curious. Never be afraid to be curious. Never be afraid to not know the answer. I tell you what, those conversations can be very enlightening.
Definitely, and this is Brian. It's that, you know, it's the, all the research points to, you know, think like a 4-year-old, right? That curiosity and the not be predisposed to being, you know, to the fear, and just do it because you don't really understand that everybody else is scared to ask the question. You just ask it because, hey, I'm curious. I want to know.
Yes.
So.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the stuff that I know, I learned from many other people. You know, when people say, well, that was interesting. Yeah, it wasn't me. I'm a combination of all the people who I met before me and taking bits and pieces of, well, I learned that there and I learned. So, no, you're absolutely right, Brian. You know, I think you, if you want to be true to development of people and businesses, then you have to be open to the fact that we can all be different. We can all do something different and learn something each day.
Well, and we've got about a minute and a half left. So I've got one last comment, then we'll ask you where people can track you down and connect and read your blog. So I just want to say that that what you just said is probably one of the most interesting things that I've heard on the show over the last 3 years. Is that, you know, you are really, I am really, William Nisha is really a combination of all the people and experience and conversations and exposure and thought processes that have came before, right? That really just is an aggregate of all of that. So just be open to continue to add to that, folks, and it'll make life maybe a little bit more fun. So, Peter, where can people connect with you, read your blog, share with us that, and then we're out of here.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm on LinkedIn, isn't everybody else? So I'm on LinkedIn. Thank you for mentioning my blog. It's HRM Explorer altogether, and that's just a connection between the world is out there and we need to explore it. So HRM Explorer, Peter Lance, I think, gets me somewhere along the line. I'm not into the major SEO stuff, but I think LinkedIn, and thank you for sharing my name today and the opportunity to talk to you.
Well, it's been a great great combination. Loved it. Combination of conversations. How about that? So, Peter, absolutely love to have you back on later in the year. And, folks, we are out of here. See ya.
Thank you.
the face of the earth and gone. Shot into space, cause she's a deleter, I'm a repeater. She's a deleter, now I'm gone.